Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey, friends, and welcome to Now Hear This, Canby. Thanks for listening. I'm James Walton, and this is what's happening this week in our community. A white Dodge pickup truck crashed into the building housing Canby Auto Import and Ace Glass Company on Highway 99E this morning, causing significant damage and injuring the vehicle's driver. Canby Fire Division Chief Matt English said the truck left the roadway for unknown reasons and crashed through the 1940s era structural clay tile facade and a large window of the front wall entryway, coming to a stop about three quarters of the way. Canby Police Chief George Tro said no eyewitnesses to the crash have yet come forward, but it appears that the driver, a male estimated in his mid-40s, was traveling westbound on 99E when he crossed traffic and collided with the auto shop. Anyone with information about the incident is asked to call the Canby Police non-emergency number at 503-223-7211. The crash occurred shortly after 7:30 a.m. Emergency crews with Canby Fire District and Canby Police arrived to find the driver unresponsive, but it was unclear if this was because of injuries stemming from the crash or a pre-existing medical issue. The driver was transported to the Clackamas County Fairgrounds, where a Life Flight air ambulance lifted him to the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland. Alex Carlberg of Canby Import said the two employees were in the building at the time. The Canby Import employee and a passerby assisted the driver immediately after the crash before paramedics arrived on the scene. He was still stuck on the accelerator, Carlberg said of the driver. He was awake, but it wasn't responsive, so they had to work to get him out. Most of the damage was sustained by Ace Glass, whose offices and counter are on the north side of the building. Ace's counter and an interior wall were damaged in the crash. Carlberg said the building's owners are already working with their insurance provider, and a temporary covering is expected to be installed at the crash site on Wednesday while arrangements are being made. For photos, you can find the story on our website, canbyfirst.com. The effects of Governor Kate Brown's vaccine mandate will be minimal on Canby's schools and students, as virtually all of the district's 600 employees were fully vaccinated or received an approved exemption before Monday's deadline. Out of 600 employees, only one was lost directly because of the mandate. District Communications Director Kristen Wohlers told Now Hear This Canby podcast in an email, "We have not placed any employees on leaves of absence." The one employee was not one of the district's 315 teachers, Wohlers clarified. About 95% of the district staff and 96% of teachers are fully vaccinated, according to the district's data, with the remainder receiving an approved religious or medical exemption. The 99.83% compliance rate is similar to what Lake Oswego, Westland, Wilsonville, and other districts are reporting, Wohlers said. Portland Public Schools reported this week that 96% of its employees have been fully vaccinated, with another 1% in progress. More than 100 PPS employees received exemptions to the governor's mandate, and only 37 are facing termination out of a workforce of nearly 7,500. In nearby Beaverton School District, nearly 97% of employees are vaccinated, with another 3% applying for a religious exemption and less than 1% requesting a medical exemption. Wohler said, quote, "We have been working diligently with our staff to make this process as smooth as possible. We are pleased with the outcome. Canby School District has an amazing student-centered staff, so we are thrilled this process went as well as it has." A separate mandate covering healthcare workers, including EMTs, also took effect this week as well, and the Canby Fire District reported that it will lose zero workers or volunteers related to the new rules. Chief Jim Davis said 74% of district personnel are fully vaccinated, with the rest receiving approved exemptions. Canby Fire does a great job following all OHA and governor's requirements, Davis said. Fire and EMS crews use full PPE on all calls and decontaminate all medical equipment and apparatus after every call. Davis attributed the district's success to, quote, "the dedication and commitment by all employees to keeping our citizens safe." Malala Police Chief Frank Schoenfeld announced his retirement last week after more than 5 years serving the community, while Councilor Steve Deller shared in that same meeting that he would be resigning due to moving out of the state. Schoenfeld became emotional as he addressed the City Council and community on Wednesday, likening his bond with the police department and city government to strong family ties. "I'm calling you all my close friends," he said. "I always recognized the significance of my position, and I tried my best to represent you, my department, and our citizens. Being part of this team has meant being part of some significant accomplishments with the department and the city of Malala." A former patrol sergeant and detective sergeant for the Canby Police Department, he joined the Malala force in 2016 before succeeding Rod Lucic as chief 3 years later. However, he has lived in Malala for 30 years. Prior to his retirement from Canby PD, Schoenfeld had also served as supervisor assigned to the South Metro Gang Task Force. His law enforcement career, which spans more than 3 decades, also includes 6 years with the Oregon City Police Department and 10 with the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, where he served in patrol, special weapons and tactics, special investigations, case management, and on the Regional Organized Crime and Narcotics Task Force. "I started this amazing journey 32 years ago," the chief said. "I've experienced so much, and I just simply could not ask for more. I've been so blessed, but it is time now for me to step down and let this team that we've built together carry the torch. I've no doubt that this department will continue to progress and grow into an even better agency than it is now. I have no doubt they will do so with the highest integrity, dignity, and honor." Achievements Schoenfeld cited during his tenure included the hiring of 4 new officers, beginning the process of replacing aging equipment and computers with new technology, and a fleet of vehicles, a new officer training program, and the formation of a bicycle patrol unit and human trafficking unit that has been modeled by other agencies. The department also created a new contingency fund for the eventual construction of a new department headquarters, which Schoenfeld said is badly needed, and remodeled the current digs for use by City Hall in the future. Schoenfeld's last day with the Malala PD will be November 30th. He promised to do all he could to help with the transition to a new chief. City Administrator Dan Huff said the city would not be using an outside recruiter to replace Schoenfeld and expects to share more details about the plan and the timeline at the next council meeting. "Our city is losing a huge asset with Chief Schoenfeld retiring," Malala Mayor Scott Kaiser told Now Hear This Canby. "He has built such a great attitude within our department, he will be sadly missed." While Schoenfeld's retirement was sad but not entirely unexpected, Councilor Deller did surprise with his announcement that he would be stepping down less than a year into the term he won in the November general election. Deller, who was originally from Canby and attended Oregon State University before settling back in Malala to raise a family, told his colleagues that he would miss the community. Deller said he appreciates the values of the community and its way of life. "The values of Malala are just incredible," he said. "There's unity and independence I don't understand. The people are stubborn and they are helpful, and I love it. I wish the state of Oregon espoused the same values we see here, but it doesn't." Deller said he and his family are moving to Texas. We just felt a real calling there, he said. God gave us a sign. We got a definite sign, a real push in that direction, and it's all coming together much faster than we expected. I really enjoyed my time here, and I look forward to coming back to visit. Kaiser told Now Hear This Canby that the city will be announcing the open vacancy at the October 27th council meeting, along with the timeline for the application process. Kaiser said he hopes the council will complete the process to seat a new councilor before the end of the year. Earlier this month, volunteers from Colton joined Mullalla Fire District in responding to a house fire on South Wright Road and came away with a little more than they'd bargained for, a young orphaned kitten that had managed to escape from the blaze. Colton Fire Chief Todd Gary found the injured creature hiding in the roots of a nearby tree, drawn by its meowing, which could be heard even over the din of the blaze and the fire crew's labor. There is an old stereotype about firefighters, especially ones in small towns, spending their time rescuing cats from trees, but this was a lot more serious. The kitten had been burned from exposure to the severe heat in the October 3rd fire, inhaled a lot of smoke, and the veterinarian said his trachea and esophagus had been damaged. The owner had no way to care for the little guy, so Colton Fire Engineer Dan Dunn and his wife Brooke took him in, naming him Smokey. From the very beginning, his survival was not assured. Smokey was in and out of the emergency veterinary clinic, and the Dunns spent a sleepless week and a half tending to the kitten as though he were their own child. But he was a fighter, in the words of Colton Rural Fire District Lieutenant Chris Cahoon. From what they are saying, it's a touch-and-go thing, Cahoon reported on October 13th. The kitten came home over the weekend and then ended up back at the clinic because he's not able to eat enough. Smokey had a setback later that night, with Brooke Dunn sharing an update and asking for prayer from the Colton Fire family. We're still hopeful that he's going to pull through, she wrote. He had internal burns and smoke inhalation, but he's mostly struggling with eating enough. His blood sugar keeps plummeting, and keeping a consistent self-regulated body temperature. He's such a little love. I was at the vet clinic today, snuggling him under a warm water pad. Didn't want to leave. Please say a prayer for a little guy tonight. He is such a fighter. He deserves to live beyond this, health issue free, and living his best life. Sadly, Smokey did not survive the night, passing at the Emergency Veterinary Hospital of Tualatin 10 days after his rescue from the burning home. Though the ending was not what anyone wanted, Cahoon said the district applauded the Dunn's incredible efforts to trying to save a life. Oh, I think it's amazing, Cahoon said. It goes to the nature of what we do, you know? We're not just helping people, we want to do whatever we can to help. And for them to take on these veterinary bills and try to save this poor little thing, it's incredible. They really stepped up, you know? They went above and beyond. They really gave it a fighting chance and a loving home for the last week and a half of its life. Good job, Duns. Thank you for your care and concern. That'll do it for the news on this edition of Now Hear This Canby. I'm James Walton. As always, thank you for listening and have a great day.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
And welcome back to the ad sponsor section, where I get to talk to people about books, because I always drag
Megan Waterman in here to be with me. Hi, Megan.
Hi. That's not a bad thing. Talking about books is always the best time.
I think you know of all people that I can talk about books endlessly.
I do.
Yeah. So, Megan, do you want to tell our listeners about what's going on down at the Book Nook?
Oh, at the Book Nook, we are getting ready for the holidays.
Yeah.
I know.
There's only one I care about. And by the time this ad comes out, it's basically over.
Are you talking about Halloween?
Yeah, I like spooky, scary stories.
I know you do. We've got a lot of great spooky, scary stories in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We do, but spooky, scary stories are also good for Christmas. Do you have a favorite author that writes spooky, scary stories that are appropriate for Christmas?
You go with your classic Charles Dickens, right?
Yep.
Some Christmas Carol stuff.
Absolutely, that's my favorite.
That's the best. There's M.R. James. I know about him. He did a whole series of short scary stories for Christmas.
Short scary stories? I don't know. Christmas in general is kind of scary. It depends on how many people you have to buy for.
How many people you have to cook dinner for?
Right.
Speaking of cooking dinner, Thanksgiving is coming up.
Thanksgiving is coming. We have got some beautiful cookbooks in recently and some really cute kids' cookbooks just came in if you want to start cooking with your grandkids or starting to train up your little ones to cook Thanksgiving dinner so you can just sit on the couch and watch football.
And right now is the time to go in, right?
Yes.
Because waiting till Christmas Eve for that one special book that someone wants isn't going to work out.
It's not going to be there. This year, it's no secret, the last year and a half has been a little crazy for the whole world. And that is really going to affect Christmas this year. There are going to be serious stock issues this year. So get your Christmas shopping done early. We've been working really hard to get as much inventory on our shelves and in our overstock as possible so that we have what you want at Christmas time. But if you know now a title that you want to buy for somebody for Christmas, get it now.
All right.
I might not be able to get it later.
And what is all three of ours? Because we also have Amy in the studio with us. What's all three of ours this season's book recommendation?
Okay.
Amy, what's your book recommendation for this season?
The Night Before Christmas.
All right. Yeah, that's classic. Megan?
And for me, my favorite Christmas read? Okay, my favorite book that's coming out it's no secret, I am an Outlander fan. I love Diana Gabaldon. There may be a cardboard cutout of Jamie Fraser in our bookstore. Book boyfriends are a thing.
Yeah.
And finally, book 9 is coming out towards the end of November. So you will not see me until I finish reading that.
And mine is the Dungeons & Dragons Feast of Legends or whatever, the table. So make sure you guys come on down to Book Nook. Megan, where are you guys located?
We are on the corner of Grant and 2nd in downtown Canby.
All right.
Tell me your name and what your title is.
I'm Melissa Larondo. I am the administrator of Marquee Hope Village Memory Care.
Okay. How'd you get into this line of work?
This line of work? kind of been a long journey. I've been with Marquee now for just about 8 years, and I started out as a scheduler in the home health side of things and have just kind of been climbing up the ladder since then. I did admissions and care coordination, and I worked at Marquee Oregon City for about 5 years prior to coming here, and they have an Alzheimer's and dementia unit as well.
Yeah.
And it's kind of found my calling for taking care of the folks with a little bit higher cognitive care needs. And so was given an opportunity to help open this facility here on this campus, and it's been incredible.
Yeah. Tell me about the facility.
So we are open just now, just over a year. Mm-hmm. We opened August of last year, mid-pandemic and all, opened the doors. And we are the newest addition to the Hope Village campus, so giving ourselves the campus a more well-rounded levels of care. So we're start to finish. We have everything on campus from rehab and long-term care, nursing, skilled nursing, and assisted living, and now memory care as well, all right here on campus.
Have to be one of the few, if not the only, long-term care facility in the state to open during COVID.
Yeah,
it was. Obviously, the process started before then, the construction and everything, nobody knew it was coming.
Yeah, we were slated to open in April of 2020.
Right.
And so obviously we saw some hiccups with that, with everything that happened in March of last year. But it turned out to be kind of a blessing in disguise. Our interview, we talked last summer about how just having this building here, during all of that, you know, craziness where there are so many unknowns and so many things, kind of moving parts, we were able to use this facility as kind of a housing, facility for folks that were helping us with the COVID outbreak and keeping, you know, our staff able here and able to help our residents as they needed and also keep them safe and their families safe so they weren't going home back and forth. And it was kind of a unique opportunity that we had, but it turned out to be pretty good. And then once we got that all cleared up, we were able to just hit the ground running and start letting people come in and move some folks in. So we're a little over half full
now. Awesome. Yeah, that is cool how it kind of provided some flexibility and some options for you, having empty rooms here that a lot of facilities didn't have. So.
It was a safe haven for sure for the whole campus.
Absolutely. What are some of the things about the memory care facility here that are unique or special?
Primarily, I mean, the whole Village campus is unique in itself in that we do offer all levels of care here, and the memory care being the newest addition, it's been a really kind of a neat opportunity for me to, I mean, dementia happens at all different levels of care. There's, you know, all different stages of it. Not everyone that has dementia needs memory care, but to help staff across the campus kind of learn better techniques and better opportunities on how to care for someone with dementia, and have not only more success for their shift, but a better opportunity and experience for that person, that resident, whether it's short term or permanent here.
What is, and tell us a little bit, what is life like here for the residents?
So our goal here is really to create an experience for our residents that is as normal as possible. And normal is whatever that means to them, wherever they're at in their stage of dementia, whatever they're good at right now, whatever is important to them is what we focus on. So everyone's experience here is different. It's very tailored to what their needs are. Prior to someone moving in, we spend a lot of time with their families and get to know kind of who they used to be, what happened since their diagnosis, what kind of journey they've had, things that the families have experienced, you know, good and bad. And we want to know those things so that we can kind of help tailor what their environment here is going to look like. Everybody's activities are a little bit different. Everybody's, you know, day to day is a little bit different based on what they're able to do. But our goal ultimately is to find a way to give them purpose. Regardless of what your cognitive level is, that's everybody's kind of baseline, is you need a purpose in life. So finding something that, you know, means something to them, something meaningful, something they used to do. Maybe they can't do it anymore, but can we adapt it in a way that they can be fulfilled by doing those things? So we kind of dig in pretty deep before someone moves in and make sure that we have an idea anyway. And then, you know, over the course of the first month or so, we get to learn a lot about them. And as they decline and progress through the diagnosis, we just keep adapting and making sure that they feel like their life is worth something.
And I feel like that's gonna seg into what I wanted to ask you next, which is, I know for employees in long-term care settings, it's often a passion of theirs, right? You've mentioned that yourself as well. What motivates you in doing this work and working with very vulnerable seniors?
You know, the staff that I have here are incredible. They're a whole nother level of caregiver for sure, because you're right, this is a very vulnerable population. This is a group of folks that can't necessarily make their needs known, or what comes out of their mouth isn't necessarily what they mean. So being able to be proactive instead of reactive, and to understand their life so thoroughly that they don't even have to tell you things and you know what they mean. It's a different level of care for sure, but it's definitely a passion to be able to help somebody that is so vulnerable and could such an easily forgotten population.
Yeah. Overlooked.
Yeah. It becomes really difficult when someone can't make their needs known or they become a challenge in any way. But to bring them in and help them thrive,
yeah,
it's probably the most rewarding level that you could really get into.
I wonder if, you know, obviously during the pandemic, it's more challenging in a lot of ways, but also is it more rewarding because you're protecting them from something that they may not even fully understand?
I don't think any of us fully understand. I won't blame that on the dementia at all. It's been a unique experience, to say the least. Challenging, of course. Yeah. I mean, there's been so many different things that have come up, and it creates so many things. We crave some normalcy.
Yeah.
But you know, we rise to the challenge, and it's amazing how resilient human beings can be.
Right.
And we found ways to make it work. You know, for a long time, we couldn't have families come in here.
Yeah.
And we had to be creative, and you know, having folks visit through a window when you don't really understand that barrier or why you have to do that.
Yeah.
It created a whole new network of challenges. But like I said, my staff is incredible. Yeah. And the amount of training that we've done with them and help them kind of figure out how to approach and redirect. It's been, you know, as best as we could do, for sure. And we've had a lot of success.
Yeah. Yeah. Melissa, I wonder if you have, you know, I often find, you know, sort of like specific moments or stories can kind of illustrate better what life is like or what your work is like. Is there anything that kind of stands out to you that sort of conveys what, you know, what life is like here? What happens here in a meaningful way without obviously, you know?
I'm the worst person to ask this because I can't get through it without crying. I get super emotional.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll ask my staff one of those stories because they're much better at like holding it together. But it is. It's there are so many moments that just kind of make your day around here. And it's something that I go home and I talk to my family about, or even, you know, coworkers on the other side of campus, is when it gets really hard in this office and, you know, all the different changes and all the different things. It's amazing to me how much stress relief I can get by leaving and going and spending time in the back where with my residents and just sitting with them, doing an activity, you know, getting on the floor with my caregivers and helping them kind of get through their dinner shift or whatever they're trying to do and create kind of a little bit of help for them.
Yeah.
But just sitting and chatting with them, or having families come and visit and like we all sit down together and talk. A really rewarding part of this too is, you know, a lot of families really struggle to understand what's going on with their loved one and how to maintain a meaningful relationship with someone that they know so well that's changing so drastically.
Right.
And so we really focus on families a lot too. And so we spend a lot of time with sons and daughters and spouses, and this is who your loved one is now.
Yeah.
These are things that you can do and say to help foster a relationship with them, even as they start to forget you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to go away or that you can't have, you know, a meaningful conversation or valuable time with them.
Yeah.
So really coaching families through that is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else that you want to share with folks? How can people find out more about the facility? Or are you doing tours and things like that?
We are open for tours. You just have to be screened at the front, like everywhere else you go.
Right.
We'll take your temperature, but you're welcome to come in and take a walk with us, show you around the facility. You'll probably bump into a resident or two as they're walking around. But if you are interested with you know, getting more information without a tour, you can go to our website, marqueecompanies.com, find a facility, and you can click on the memory care link and find out all of our services, our rates, and there's also a link to a virtual tour.
Awesome.
So you can kind of see what's going on without having to come in, or if you're interested in coming in, kind of get a preview.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out which TV option I want to use when DirectLink turns off their video services in January of next year. It's so confusing. Do you know there's about 48 million streaming services to choose from? Which devices do they work on? What channels do they offer?
No, I did not know that. But you do realize that you're probably better off than you think. If you have DirectLink's Easy Video TV now, you're already using a streaming service. But listen, you don't have to go this alone. DirectLink is actually helping their members transition to their next video provider. The company has an extensive informational website where you can compare popular services, and they host live tutorials on streaming TV options to help you decide.
Well, hold the phone. Are you saying that they're actively trying to help their members switch to a competing service? Who does that?
Well, DirectLink does. I mean, I guess it's one more chapter in their long history of wanting the best for our community. They've actually offered free classes for the past 12 years that teach our neighbors about the latest technology and internet security practices. And don't forget, they also orchestrated that popular bingo game last year that helped keep everyone entertained and connected during the lockdowns. They've also launched special programs to help keep our students connected at home during the pandemic, and partnered with the city of Canby to give free Wi-Fi year-round at three local parks for locals and visitors alike.
Wait, DirectLink does all that?
They do indeed, and that's on top of providing the best and most reliable internet and voice services in town. So, to learn more about DirectLink services or how they can help you transition to the right video service for your home, visit directlink.coop today.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888-906-3432. On the Canby Hall Pass promo series today, we're welcoming Chessa Snook. She's the owner and baker at Baker's Prairie Bakery. Hi, Chessa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I am just a little disappointed. I thought we were on the same page. You were going to bring like a huge box of baked goods. Showed up empty-handed. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
I guess we got our lines crossed. That's okay. I'll forgive you. Why don't you start by just telling folks what do you do? What do you offer to the community?
We are a small batch bakery. We bake everything fresh from scratch right here in house. We do all of our lamination by hand. We make all of our ingredients as far as we can.
Yeah.
Get all of our meats locally from Ebner's.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheese, I think, from
TMK.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What does laminated mean? I assume that's not like printing.
It is how we make our croissant dough. So a lot of places use machinery to kind of help because it is a lot easier to use machines than doing it by hand. But we have a smaller kitchen than most bakeries.
Okay.
And so we just do everything by hand. So we roll it, and laminating it means putting butter and dough in between. And every time you roll it and you fold it, you're creating another layer. And so you're just kind of creating layer upon layer upon layer to make really good croissant dough, pie dough, so you get that super flaky goodness.
Yeah, you're making me hungry.
I know.
Right now. So it's not like a croissant that you can then get wet and it's like protected.
Not quite.
That kind of lamination. Okay.
Not quite.
How and or why, kind of however you want to take it, but how and why did you get into this business?
Oh my goodness. I had a customer ask me the other day.
It was like a 20-minute explanation.
It was really funny. It was like a mind-blown thing was, how long have you been in the industry? And I was like, oh my gosh, almost 20 years. Oh. Holy moly. I felt like I was dating myself for a second. So I always loved food, customer service, and originally I went to school for other things, and I realized that I loved working with my hands and creating something special to, you know, nothing better than creating food to make someone smile. Yeah. Like, who doesn't love good food, right?
Absolutely.
So I learned...
Monsters, maybe.
Right? I learned how gratifying that was and how fun it was to treat people to yummy things, and it kind of became my career, and I love it so much.
Awesome. What do you attribute your success to?
Oh my goodness. I would say so many different things. I would say our wonderful employees that we've had throughout being open, our amazing customer base, my partner in crime, my husband, he, you know, he's been my main supporter in everything, our family members, you know, like everybody has been so supportive. And the reason that we opened was because Canby is so supportive of all of their small businesses here. Like, all the businesses are part of this big community, and nobody, I feel like nobody feels like they're in competition with anyone, because we're all friends. We're all in this together, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about Canby, and that's what makes us all feel so successful here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, related question, but obviously we had this pandemic thing going. You might have heard, might have heard of it. What do you attribute, or what do you think has been key to helping you survive and recover from the pandemic?
The fact that our business isn't based on being solely dine in.
Yeah.
Our business is mostly to go orders, which is helped us immensely. You know, we don't have a ton of people who sit down.
You were a little bit ready for that.
More
well-positioned for that.
We totally were. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, people are on their way to work and they get a box of pastries or, you know, they get a sandwich on
Part
their way
of it
to work.
Is that, like, hilariously weird shape of,
of
the cafe, this, like, Tetris shape where you got, like, the space in the back and in the front, just hallway.
You know, Starbucks really ruined that one for me. I had no choice and how I had to set that up. Yeah. But, you know, we make it work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take out and amazing catering? Employees.
Yeah.
We don't do a ton of catering because we don't have the staff to deliver.
Yeah.
We do quite a bit of wholesaling, but if people are willing to come and pick stuff up, we happily cater to, you know, businesses and stuff that are having meetings.
Yeah.
And we actually do quite a bit of that now that I think about it. Which has been just awesome.
Yeah.
And again, you know, other businesses supporting small businesses has been incredible. So
one thing that's unique about you guys that I think is really cool is the different things that you do seasonally, you know, when things are in season, or obviously like really leaning into a lot of the holidays, you know, like I often see you guys on social media and I'll be like hankering for something pumpkin spice. And I'll just see like, it's like Facebook reads my mind. It's like, here, try this. You know, like Facebook knows me more than I know myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I love all the seasonal things and I try really hard to take grasp on what's in season.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because I always want like citrusy things in the summertime, but citrus is a winter fruit.
That is interesting. Yeah.
So I gotta have all the citrus in the winter, what I love.
Yeah.
Taste of summer in the winter.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, last question, Chessa, just to put you on the spot here. What's something that people might not know about you? So it could be a special accomplishment or maybe a hobby that you have or a skill. Special
about
skill.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I recently acquired a PS5 and I am the farthest thing from a gamer. But the best way for me to decompress after work has been
killing zombies.
Not zombies, but I've been playing Valhalla.
Okay.
So I've been killing Vikings.
Nice.
And it's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just like picture customers, nasty customers. I'm just kidding.
No.
Just kidding. Of course
but
not.
It's so fun. And I've found that doing like the story and everything has been a blast.
Right.
So between that and gardening, like I get like peaceful and then I get like the,
get all the rage out.
The anger.
I love that. That's
it's
so
hilarious.
Funny. Yeah.
I know.
That is good.
I know.
I always love that. I always learn something I didn't know about the people in this series from that.
I know, it's fun.
You obviously got the PS5, I assume, for you're waiting for the Great British Bake Off, the game,
to
come out. And
there's
just,
a game.
Yeah, I don't know.
I actually hate the Great British Bake Off.
Really?
I don't like watching cooking shows because I never see them wash their hands and it drives me crazy.
Ooh, yeah. You just hope that they cut that part out, right?
I really hope so. I really do. But like some of the things that they show just make me cringe. I'm just like, but why?
Yeah, yeah. The thing I like about that show is they're so nice to each other.
Oh, they are.
You know, it's amazing.
They are.
It's like, and I don't know if it's because they're British or because they're bakers or both. But I feel like there's a lot of that in the mix. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think bakers are just nice. British people are nice, at least to each
other.
On
the American shows, a lot of times they're really mean or yelling at each other.
Yeah.
So it is really nice to see them being nice to each other. I've watched a few seasons, so
right.
I will admit, yes.
Yeah.
They are super, super nice to each other, and I do love that.
Absolutely. Well, you have to get on the waiting list for that game. I'm sure it's coming out eventually.
Oh,
so.
My.
I guess. All right. Thanks, Chessa.
Thank you.
Okay, on the Can't Be Hall Pass promo series today, we're also talking with Lacey McGraw. She's the founder and owner of the Barn Door Boutique and Decor in downtown Canby. Hi, Lacey.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Awesome.
Good.
Thanks so much for coming in today.
Yeah.
So why don't you start by telling us just a little bit about your store. What can people find there?
Well, so it's just a small little clothing, decor, and gift boutique downtown Canby. We have a variety of clothing and accessories, mm-hmm. and then a small variety of gifts, and then some decor.
Yeah, yeah. What's kind of the theme or?
It's more Western.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So how did you get into this kind of business?
Well, I started, it will be 3 years in April, this coming April. So I started about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it just was a little hobby of mine. I started doing leather work right out of high school, and it just kind of flourished into what it is now.
Yeah, yeah. Started on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
if I recall.
Yeah, Instagram and Etsy, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And at your store, there's quite a bit of craft.
There is,
crafters work,
yep,
right?
We have a lot of local vendors, per se, mm-hmm. around Oregon. So
yeah awesome. Lacey, you've been in downtown Canby for what, about a couple years now,
mm-hmm.
in the brick and mortar store.
Yep.
To what would you attribute your success?
Well, I think that we have a really good like local clientele,
mm-hmm.
But then with COVID it kind of slumped off a little bit, so I'd say our internet business is really doing good, mm-hmm. but we do have a lot of local people that buy on the internet as well, and then just come locally pick up.
Awesome, cool. Well, that kind of segues into my next question,
okay.
which is the pandemic. Obviously you opened the store just in time for COVID-19. It hung in there, which is awesome.
It did.
How do you feel like you survived and recovered? What
a
helped
lot
you
of online?
So
we did we try to do weekly like live sales, and
cool.
we would try to promote like
Facebook and stuff?
Yeah, like 10% off or like buy one, get one, that type of stuff, just to kind of keep people like remembering that we are a business in Canby. So we did that. And then I think as money got tight for people, our live sales kind of declined in purchases. So I think our promotion on Instagram and Facebook, I'm constantly posting 2-4 times a day just to get people to remember, hey, we have a whole bunch of stuff. So even if you're just seeing this, doesn't mean we don't have this or this. So just a lot of social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And that's your main thing. Don't have a website, right?
We do.
Oh,
but
you do? Okay.
It's just our social media. Our Instagram is our biggest.
A lot more engagement that way. Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, Lacey, my last question here, just to put you on the spot.
Mm.
Why don't you tell me something that most folks might not know about you. Is there like a special skill, a hobby that you have, maybe an achievement that...
Well, I am pretty much an open book, but I am dyslexic. And a lot of people who are close to me know that, but a lot of people who aren't close to me don't know that.
Yeah.
And I really actually used to be embarrassed by it, but I am proud of it now because I see how far I've come. Since being diagnosed with dyslexia.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of cool to show people that even if you do have trouble like learning and stuff in school, it doesn't mean you can't make out in the real world. So.
Wow, that's awesome. So that it affects your reading, does it?
It does. Okay. left and right, numbers, letters, reading. Yeah, I kind of get it all, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, awesome.
So, yeah.
And you like rodeos just a little bit, mm-hmm. as I understand.
Just a little.
You're pretty excited to go back to the rodeo this year?
Yeah, so we for sure have a booth at the St. Paul Rodeo, so we are already getting stuff kind of
year.
Written down for that and prepared. So,
yeah, awesome, cool. Why don't you shout out your Instagram and Facebook? I'm sure a lot of the folks are like, I already follow her.
Our Instagram is at the Barn Door. Boutique with a period between each word, and then our Facebook is just Barn Door Boutique and Decor.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Lacey, and best of luck for this upcoming holiday
season.
Thank you. I hope it's awesome for
you. Yes, I am excited. It should be good.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool.
Cool.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or that baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.